today on Real Radio.
But here's the thing. I'm going to keep myself usable. Purity. Keep yourself usable. A lot of people today aren't being usable because they got a little thing going on the side on the internet. They got a little peak show going on the website. You may be saved, but you're cut off at the knees. God wants to use you, but your handle's broken.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 6 today, which is just one of a number of warnings, as it were, by the Apostle Paul, that describe the hardships awaiting the true believer. In fact, some of these difficult life experiences will be quite severe for anyone who stands up for the truth of the gospel. But it doesn't end there. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Let Me Encourage You.
If you're going to have a Christian minister come and, well, you know, I can't come and speak unless I have gray poupon. And, you know, it's a what? We get self-invites from people. Every church does. But the bigger the church, the bigger the kind of a person. Here's what they must think somewhere back in the crazy town. That church has got a lot of people. They must have money. I think God's called me to speak there. And then I get a note. Hi, Pastor Hibbs. I am the right reverend, super anointed, apostle, prophet, Billy Bob. And I'm going to be in the Southern California area, and you're going to want to have me speak to your church. If you just contact this number, you'll get all the details as how you can have me. And it's, yeah, you can have me. I want a car at the airport. I want to have this kind of food. And just for you, because, you know, we're going to be vacationing in California, it's only going to be $30,000 for that weekend. Let me tell you something. I pray a little prayer for that person. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Paul the Apostle would have jumped off his donkey and knocked that person out. Those are wolves. They're wolves. I don't care what you... They're wolves. And Paul was not like that. Paul said, no, you know what? Our love drove us to minister to you. And you know what? Paul said, we could have walked up and said, we're apostles. We're the real deal. So we'd like to have grape upon. He said, listen, we are the real deal. And because we're the real deal, we ask for nothing. Think of that. Wow. Point number two is, let me encourage you, Christianity is not an easy road. Verses 4 through 8. You say, Pastor, come on, lighten up. Wait, I just brought my friend here today. I want them to become a Christian. Well, let's not fool them. Paul right here is encouraging. He is encouraged, by the way, by how the message and the ministry of the gospel is his strength and his power. He made no excuses for that. Convincing evidence that the ministry that he was involved in was approved of God. You say, what'd you say? Just that difficulty and stuff and the power of God is yet more proof of being the real deal. Verse 4, mark this down. We will feel what others don't feel. We're going to feel. Verse 4, he says, in much patience. Mark this, in much patience. The word is a determined cheerfulness. Listen, I'm going to read you the actual exact definition, and then I'll make a confession. A determined cheerfulness. This is not of this world, my friends. This is not easy. Hopeful endurance. Consistently waiting. The word means to endure patiently. And he's going to tell us what? Endure patiently what? And he's going to tell us about his own life. And let me tell you something right now. I don't know about you, but I thought about this word patient. If I am ever known, and miraculously, there are events where people, how come Jack's waiting so long to decide on that? What's Jack waiting for? What's the deal? What's the deal? That is a miracle. Because I'm so impatient. I don't like patience. You know the old story. Don't pray for patience because God will put you through the... Listen, you don't even have to pray for patience. God's going to put you through it anyway. It's one of the things of the Holy Spirit he wants to work into your life. But I am impetuous. Do you know what that means? I'm impetuous. I'm spontaneous. My wife, thank God. Listen, any of you single and you're going to get married, you're engaged, make sure the person you're engaged to is the opposite of you. Don't marry somebody like you. If you're both impetuous, you'll be on the streets poor with nothing. You want somebody, and God will bring somebody opposite. But man, I'll go, come on. Lisa, Monday, it's our day off. Get up, wake up. It's our day off. She's going, I want to sleep. No, get up. Let's go. Let's just throw hats on and go eat breakfast on the beach. Let's do that. We'll pick stuff up on the way down there and just set up an umbrella. No, Lisa's got to have it on the calendar for 6 months. So what's the compromise? We do it. We have a spontaneous event in 3 months. That's what happens. Listen, as Christians, what you and I feel, the world does not feel. Completely opposite. Did you hear me? Christianity's not easy. The number one thing is we find out in our lives all of a sudden as a Christian, we start caring about things we never cared about before. We feel toward people a way that we never felt before. And this word patient is not us, but God does the work. Now I'm going to need you to hang on your seats. This is going to go really quick. Watch this shotgun. Almost, I would think, it fell out of Paul's mouth so quick because he knew it was so true. And this is what I want to be able to say in my life. In much patience, in tribulations, what does that mean? To be placed under a plank of anguish. To be placed under a plank, a wooden plank, a burden. The word means problems of daily living. The literal word means afflictions or tribulations, pressures of life that crush you. You know what I'm talking about? Paul says, be patient in that stuff. We feel different than what the world does because what Christianity is not easy, but God gets us through this. He gives us this amazing opportunity when we're under the plank. Remember, when you're under the plank, you can't breathe very well. You ever feel like that? Oh my goodness. The next word, in needs. The word means requests placed upon you. The word means must needs. That must needs are placed upon you. G. Campbell Morgan says it's this kind of a need, which is often sometimes the most debilitating for the caregiver, is when someone in your family or a husband or a wife or a child is incapacitated or handicapped severely, and your life now is devoted to the constant care of that person. There'll be no missionary field for you. There'll be no much of a social life for you. There'll be no trips for you. There'll be none. But the Bible says, be patient in that. God is at work. And Paul said, I know what it's like to live like that. We don't know much about Paul in this area, but he's telling us, I know what it's like to nurse someone who's been incapacitated. We don't know. Was it his wife? We don't know. He knows what it's like in needs. The next word, look, in distresses. This word means to be brought into a narrow place. It means the place of squeezing, to be slowly crushed by what? By the cares and difficulties and challenges that this world brings against us. Verse 5, in stripes, imprisonments, and in tumults. Stripes means this, to be struck on the face, to be beaten. I don't have the time. We will go into it later. How many times was Paul beaten and scourged and whipped and even stoned with rocks? I have to make that clear in California. Stoned with rocks. Left for dead, and God raised him up and he kept serving. We'll talk about that in following chapters in this book. Imprisonments. I hate the thought of this. Imprisonments means to be under guard, having lost your freedom, your liberty, and your ability to move about. Imprisoned in jail. Now, as a Christian in this culture, we may all be going to jail the way this world is going. But Paul says, oh, cheer up. Let me encourage you. I know what it's like to be in jail. Can you imagine if Paul applied for a job here and we looked him up, we did a background check, you know his rap sheet was pretty bad, you know? The guy's been in and out of jail. Yes, I'd like to serve Christ. Great. Let's take a look at your life. Man, looks like you've been in and out of jail a lot. That's true. I have a record. Well, for what? Telling people about Jesus. I've been arrested in Rome, been arrested in Jerusalem, been arrested throughout areas in Europe. For what? Preaching Christ, that he died, rose again from the grave. Freaked people out. Did you know that? Would you hire a pastor or an apostle that's got a record like that? You better. Wow. Tumults. This is funny. Plays off the other. Tumults. Paul says, I've been patient in tumults. What does that word mean? Public civil instability. Listen, public civil disorder, a mob or a riot. Watch this. Caused by you. How do you like that? Listen, a lot of people are talking about being Christians today. I'm praying to God that I become one. You say, what do you mean? Because when I read the example of the Christian, he, in public, created civil disorder. Paul disturbed the peace. The peace, though, was a community that was dead in its sins. And Paul came walking in and said, hey, everybody, listen, Jesus rose again from the grave. He saves people. And he tells Herod and Felix and others and Festus, you ought not to be living like that. That's going to get you in trouble with God. Remember he said that? And they said, that's it, you're going to jail. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that my community doesn't know I'm a Christian. I'm afraid the street I live on, they don't know I'm a Christian. Paul says, well, okay, I'll pray for you, because everywhere I went, there was a riot. There was a mob about what I believed. How cool is that? Do you want to embrace that? I'm asking God to make me want to embrace that. But we feel what others do not feel, because quite frankly, the world thinks it's alive, but it's dead. We have life, and they can't recognize us. The next word is in labors. The word means to reduce the strength, to make weary, to shave down the wood until it's a toothpick. Paul says, oh, I know what that feels like. Sleeplessness, this is tender. It means by being kept awake for reasons. Are you ever kept awake by burdens and by reasons? Are you kept awake by the spiritual condition of a son or a daughter or a mother or a father, or a child or whatever? Does a kid ever keep you awake? Or the situation of our nation, does it ever keep you awake? The situation of the church, Paul says, man, I know what it's like to not be able to sleep because your heart is so burdened with an issue. Do you have an issue that keeps you awake? And fastings, verse 5. The word means to be denied food. This is not fasting. It's like, hey, you know what? Let's fast. Let's do a fast. This is an involuntary fast. This is one that's imposed upon you, either by poverty or by difficulty or by there's no time. Paul says, listen, we ministered and we didn't eat. The next thing as we look at, he continues on now, watch this. He now changes up and gives us the character qualities of the Christian, of Paul. How did he do these things? How did he stay true to God in these pressures? Pressures that for all of us collectively combined, Paul's was no doubt greater. What kept him going? Now, church, I don't know how far we'll get in this point right here, but we gotta grab this. This is big business here, serious business before the throne of God. Look at the word purity. Look at verse 6, by purity. How do you do this, Paul? By purity. The word is keeping yourself clean, to be in the mind state or the state of mind of purity, to be saying this to yourself, I'm going to live this life for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to trip up anybody. I'm the real deal as a Christian. And because of that, I want to so glorify God and reach the lost that wherever I go, there's probably riots if I stand up for what's true. CNN's going to hate me, or Fox News is going to curse me, or the news are going to whatever you, but I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to let the gospel be told in the midst of it. I might lose sleep over it. But here's the thing. I'm going to keep myself usable. Purity. Keep yourself usable. A lot of people today aren't being usable because they got a little thing going on the side on the internet. They got a little peak show going on the website. You may be saved, but you're cut off at the knees. God wants to use you, but your handle's broken. There's nothing he can grab onto you to use you because you've compromised. And God says, come on, we got work to do. What do you do with that stuff? Get away from that. Let's go. In purity. The next word, by knowledge. What does that mean? The word, this is a great word. The word actually, better translated than Old King James Version, is the word that we get for science. Things that are known and knowable. Things that you do. You know, because you know it because it's knowable and you do it. Wow. Long-suffering. That means having the fortitude to hang in there and to forbear difficult things. All these things, by the way, is God's. You say, Jack, I don't have these things. None of us do. This is what God gives you if you're willing to stand. So let me encourage you. You want to see the power of God? Stand up. If you don't want to see the power of God, stay seated. I don't mean right now, right? Just don't get involved. Kindness, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is the word that's what we're talking about today. Usefulness. The word means thoughtfulness, excellence. The word means courtesy. He goes on. Verse 6 and 7, he goes in now to this, watch this, by the Holy Spirit. Do I need to say anything about that? I read 21 commentaries. I looked up this word, by the Holy Spirit. You know what? Almost none of them had anything to say. It's just, what do you say to this? How do you live your Christian life? Paul just said it, by the Holy Spirit. That's the, listen, he's the success of our success. You know that? The Holy Spirit. You say, I can't do this. You're not supposed to do this. The Holy Spirit, as you quit, as you surrender, as you say, I can't do this, the Holy Spirit says, good. Now, that means you're so tired, you won't get involved. Get out of the way. I'll grab you by the handle and get you involved. I will place you and put you in places and do things that you wouldn't have signed up for. Amen. And that kind of, you know what? When people become Christians here at this church, we ought to start giving them little helmets. How cool is that? Okay, welcome to the family of God. Here's your helmet. What's that for? Just wait and see. Oh. Sincere love. Look at your Bible. Verses 6 and 7, he talks about sincere love. This is where we get the word benevolence. A love reach or an outreach of love. Next word, verse 7, the word of truth, the Bible. The Word of God, the revealed Word of God. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means that God has breathed out the Bible. I love saying that. I love saying it because, as I said, I think I say this every week. You're probably tired of hearing about it. God did this. God did this. And that's why you can't find any fault with it. You can't find any discrepancies in it. God did this. In the original language of Greek and Hebrew, a little tiny bit of Aramaic, the Bible is absolutely perfect. I don't believe it. Well, it's tough because it's been researched and all of the skeptics have already tried to shoot holes in it. And it's still the reigning, perfect truth, Word of God. Then he goes to from the Word of God to the power of God, the dunamis power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The one who in Matthew 24:49, Jesus said, I'm going to send what I've promised to you. But stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. And of course, in Acts 1:8, that's exactly what happened. We go on, and I love this part. We'll probably end right here. He says, the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. I like this. Church, watch this, and we'll end with this. See, what did he mean by that? That was a saying, by the way, of that era, of that time. It was a saying. Historians tell us that the ancients considered the right hand to be all that you do in public. If you did, and this, listen, those of you who are in business and stuff, check this out. It's kind of cool. The ancients said that whatever you do publicly, you do with your right hand. That ancient truth, you know very well of, at least I hope you do. I don't see young people today shaking hands, which is kind of a bummer, but in my generation and previously, it was shaking hands. I remember, look, I did not grow up in a Christian home, but my dad told me, you shake hands, you say what you're going to say, and I don't care if my dad would say, the whole deal changes, and you wind up losing big, you shut your mouth and keep the deal to your own suffering. You said it, non-Christian home. You said it, you don't wiggle out of it. Even if you wind up losing, you zip it and fulfill the thing you said with your mouth. And after you say it with your mouth, you shake on it. And my dad knew judo really, really well, and his arms were massive. And I hated, I think I had to shake my dad's hand twice in life, and I regretted both times because it hurts. It hurts so bad. He'd just go. And if you do anything with the right hand, it was in public. It was sealing the deal. You shook on it. It was over, committed, done. You gave the right hand of fellowship among brothers and sisters in Christ. The king would raise his right hand, and you were allowed in. Jesus said to those who are on my right hand, enter into the joy of the Lord. Okay? The left hand, the ancients told us, was for all those things that you did in private. The left hand, you gave your food at the table. You didn't give the hand of authority to your child in the right hand. You gave the hand of your left hand is considered weaker than your right hand, more gentle, more kind. You don't fight with your left hand. You fight with your right hand. The Bible says God's right-handed. Sorry for all of you who are left-handed. But he reaches out with the left hand in private. He might caress his wife with his left hand. He might give his children food with his left hand. He might pet his dog with his left hand. It was the commitment of things private. So what is Paul saying? We're going to end with this. I love it. Paul says, everything that I do in life, I do knowing God is watching at all times because I don't want to trip up anybody. And I know that tripping up people would begin if I get tripped up in my own life. It starts with me first, he would say. So to prevent from tripping people up in life and hindering the gospel of God publicly, I want to make sure that everything I do privately is filled with integrity. And I may be strong in the culture, Paul would be saying, and I might be very strong in keeping my word in that deal and announcing the right hand of fellowship, but that's only because before it ever goes public, it's private first. There's a tenderness and there's a reality and there's a realness at home, a genuineness, an authenticity that happens in the home. If you're saying today, man, I want to be a Christian that rocks the world, good. Me too. Let's do this together. Where's the start? Left hand. In home. In private. God knows all things. God does. Your dog does. Your family does. Your kids. Right? Starts here. Paul says, man, all I want to do is preach the gospel and live a Christian life. So how's that done? You got to have a strong witness publicly. Right hand, righteousness, armor, right hand. But I can't have that unless I have that righteous armor privately of the left hand. If there's consistency in my life, God will honor that. Friends, there's no substitute for obedience to God. It's absolute pure joy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Let Me Encourage You, a look at a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's one of the writings of Paul that explains some of the hardships the true believer will face, yet this passage has encouragements interwoven throughout the text. Let Me Encourage You is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we are approaching the end of 2015 and ringing in the new year, if you will. And we always seem to talk about New Year's resolutions, right? Well, I can't think of too many New Year's resolutions better than the one we've been telling you about here on Real Radio. It's the One-Year Bible. We at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the One-Year Bible at the outset of every year. And you know what? We'd love to invite you, Real Radio listeners, to join us. It really is a great way to internalize and assimilate God's holy word. You can purchase your very own one-year Bible at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.